Good afternoon. Thank you for your patience. We'll start with short introductory remarks with the Secretary General and the President of Poland. Secretary General.
President Duda, it's a great pleasure and honor to welcome you here at the NATO headquarters. And we last met just a few weeks after you were elected as president last summer. And when I visited Poland last summer and met with you, that was in connection with the first exercise of the new spearhead force of NATO, which were exercising in Poland. So that was just another example of how we are working together and how NATO is adapting to a new and more challenging security environment. And ever since Poland joined NATO, Poland has proven to be a very strong ally and a committed ally. Today you are committing practically with hundreds of troops building security in Afghanistan and in Kosovo, with exercises on land, at sea and in the air, and with contributions to Baltic air policing and maritime patrols. You are also committing politically, including through strong support for our partners. You lead our logistics trust fund for Ukraine and help with defense education. And Poland is committing financially. You devote 2% of gross domestic product to defense, with 30% of that to be spent on investments in modern equipment. This is significant, and it shows Poland's leadership, and we thank you for that. There is a lot of Poland in NATO and a lot of NATO in Poland. You host our multinational core Northeast in Szczecin and one of our new force integration units, small headquarters. Both will make rapid deployment of our forces easier and will support planning and exercises. You also host the Joint Force Training Center in Bydgoszcz, which is part of the NATO command structure. This spring, we will break ground for a key site in Poland for NATO's ballistic missile defense. And a significant number of allied exercises have taken place in Poland, with many others underway. Over the past year, we have been implementing the biggest reinforcement of our collective defense since the end of the Cold War. NATO now has persistent military presence in the region of which Poland is part. And I trust that after the Warsaw Summit, we will see more NATO in Poland than ever before. Today we discussed the preparations for the Warsaw Summit, which are well on track. We are fundamentally adapting our alliance to the challenges we face, to a more challenging security environment. We all must ensure that when we leave the summit, the alliance is stronger and more flexible, and committed as firmly as ever to the values on which NATO was founded: democracy, individual liberty, and the rule of law. These values are vital, are a vital source of our unity, and unity is our greatest strength. So, Mr. President, I look really forward to working with you to make the Warsaw Summit a great success. So once again, welcome to NATO headquarters, and we are looking forward to work closely with you and your staff in the preparations for the summit in July.
Nasze przygotowania do szczytu lipcowego.
Panie sekretarzu generalny.
Secretary General, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you very much for all these words, which demonstrate the Polish presence in NATO and also the realistic presence of NATO in Poland so well. So our main topic of our discussions was the upcoming North Atlantic Organization Summit in Warsaw, whose principal objective is, in my opinion, to strengthen the security both of Central Europe and of the southern flank of our continent. These are the two fronts or directions where the strengthening of security is especially needed. Two elements are here considered. One is that NATO is a joint alliance where 28 countries are together responsible for their joint security. So that's one thing. Secondly, that security is advisable. It must be protected, and NATO needs to be adequately prepared to face the threats. In other words, the organizations must be alive and kicking, must respond to the threats and must be forward-looking. So this is why we want the summit in Warsaw achieve three objectives. First, to be universal. In other words, we should formulate a response and take decisions both in terms of security of Eastern Europe and the southern flanks to strengthen both. Secondly, we want the summit to be forward-looking, namely that the decisions that we will take remain actual and become or transform into a vision for the future course of events so that we are protected if that happens. And thirdly, we want this summit to be a decisive summit so that we can take precise, concrete, specific decisions on strengthening of the deterrence and defense potential of our organization. This is the most essential thing. We need to demonstrate the potential attacker that the attack against any of the NATO member states will not pay off. So this is why we turn our gaze to the south and to the eastern flank of NATO. These activities are not the only ones. We should also at the same time remember that today we shouldn't talk about enemies being anywhere. We have certain problems with the security architecture in our parts of Europe, but for that we need dialogue. And first and foremost, I think about the dialogue with Russia. We shouldn't neglect the dialogue, but also we should conduct this dialogue under the current, given the current issues. That includes also the problem of adhering to the international law, which is, in my opinion, the guarantee for the global peace. So strengthening security, adapting the treaty to the new circumstances, which means, one, strengthening NATO presence in the Central Europe, both in terms of infrastructure and troops. And this remains to be decided. And this is what we're going to talk about with the member states' representatives, the Secretary General and his staff, and myself too, because I'm planning to meet the leaders of the NATO members and talk about those issues, namely how this presence should be organized, should manifest itself. I insist on one thing, to make it as permanent as possible. The point is that the NATO troops are deployed and visible in Eastern Europe to give the security guarantee by their presence, and at the same time to be augmented by the infrastructure securing their deployment. Also, when it comes to any reinforcements or support that they deserve when any act of aggression takes place. So this security architecture should be absolutely built up. Now, referring to the summit, in my opinion, we should make sure that we give a clear signal that the doors to NATO are still open, which takes into consideration the participation of our partners in NATO who may be members of the NATO of NATO in the future, such as Sweden, Finland, maybe Australia, Jordan, Georgia. We shouldn't, in the context, we shouldn't forget in the context of the summit and security architecture of Moldova. That was a very good meeting with Secretary General. We still have a lot of work ahead of us. And the February Minister of Defense meeting will be of essential importance. So we have a lot of work in front of us in the coming months, but I believe that we will do our homework, and thanks to that work, the architecture of security in the eastern and southern flanks of NATO will be considerably strengthened.
Just a few questions. I'll start with the lady over there.
Dorota Bawołek, Telewizja Polsat.
The first question to both gentlemen. There are more and more allies who, due to other challenges to NATO or fight against terrorism and the Syria conflict, see their next ally in Russia, try to build a coalition with Russia in order to combat those threats together. So therefore, is there a chance to implement the Polish postulates in terms of increasing the presence of NATO on the eastern flank without tickling Russia? Will other allies?
For sure. Are you sure for 100% about that? Because there are some signals from the United States that there are some doubts. You said that the countries of NATO should respect the rule of law. The rule of law in Poland is currently under supervision of the European Commission. If until summer there will be some more signals of unhappiness from the EU institutions, some more doubts about it, is it possible that the place of the summit will be changed?
The decision to have the next summit in Warsaw was taken by 28 heads of state and government at our last summit in Wales in September 2014. And there is no issue at all to discuss to change that decision. So that decision stands, and we are actually looking very much forward to have the summit in Warsaw, and the preparations are on track. And the President and I, we discussed a wide range of issues which are related in different ways to the preparations for the next summit in Warsaw. So I'm looking forward to the summit in Warsaw in July. When it comes to your first question, I think it's important to underline that NATO faces a changed and more challenging security environment, both because of the behavior of Russia, a more assertive Russia, a Russia which is investing heavily in defense, which is exercising its troops, and which is able and willing to use force to change borders in Europe, as we have seen in Ukraine. The annexation of Crimea and the policy of destabilizing eastern Ukraine, and also having forces in Georgia. So NATO has to respond to a more assertive Russia, which is conducting a substantial military build-up close to our borders. At the same time, we have to respond to the turmoil, to the violence, to the instability we see to the south, with terror and the threats stemming from North Africa and the Middle East. And NATO does not have the luxury of choosing between either responding to the challenges stemming from the south or the challenges stemming from the east. We have to do both at the same time. And that's the reason why we are adapting. That's the reason why we have implemented the biggest reinforcement of our collective defense since the end of the Cold War. And that's the reason why we are increasing the readiness and the responsiveness of our forces, so we are able to defend, protect all allies against any threat, whether they come from the east or the south or wherever they come from.
Madam, let me answer you right away. Of course, within the North Atlantic Alliance, there are 28 nations, and often those nations have got different interests. And nevertheless, I am convinced about one thing, namely that some issues are obvious for all. It is an obvious thing that Russia, over the last years, has conducted a series of activities which cannot be called differently than an aggression. It is also obvious that Russia is building up its military potential, and in a very clear way, it has been demonstrating it through different exercises, through such actions which are named by some North Atlantic alliances as activities of provocative nature, of testing nature. They are testing the resilience, both political and to a certain extent also psychological resilience of those who are taking important decisions in the North Atlantic Alliance countries. That is why I strongly believe that all these phenomena are being followed by all the nations of the North Atlantic Alliance. If Russia today is building up its military potential, for instance, in the Kaliningrad Oblast or near the borders of Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and other places, the following question arises: why is it doing that? And whether such actions, which are clearly, well, because no provocative actions are exercised against Russia in those areas, there are no offensive weapons there. So the question is, why is Russia engaged in such an activity? Quite logical answer is that, unfortunately, these actions are not purely of defensive character. And if so, then taking into account the nature of the North Atlantic Alliance, which I want to stress very strongly, the North Atlantic Alliance is a defense alliance, purely defense alliance. It is absolutely not aimed at any kind of expansion or any actions of offensive nature. It is only defensive in nature. A natural consequence of that is strengthening the defense potential. And I hope that every single member of the alliance, following what is happening in the international space, is seeing those phenomena and understands them. Of course, also, we are seeing situations with a decreased level of security at the southern flank of NATO, and we also need to take adequate action there, action which will strengthen us as far as anti-terrorist actions are concerned, which will strengthen our security vis-a-vis the ISIL. All of these are the elements which in a natural way are outlined in front of NATO. NATO has to face up in an adequate way to all those challenges, and I count on common sense in this respect on part of the member states, and I count on their approach full of understanding, even from those nations which geographical location is distant from the places which are facing problems and threats today.
Mamy tylko jedno ostatnie pytanie. Bardzo proszę pana w środku. Dziękuję. Panie prezydencie, czy uważa pan, jaka jest minimalna obecność wojsk, która by usatysfakcjonowała pana, żeby została podjęta taka decyzja na szczycie w Warszawie?
Czy wystarczy the multinational core northeast, or do you want to see an actual combat troop presence, persistence presence in Poland or the Baltics? And if they don't, will that weaken deterrence? Mr. Secretary General, I wonder if you are worried about the rule of law issues in Poland, challenges to the independent judiciary and press, and do you think that these controversies will weaken the support for increasing a troop presence in Poland at the Warsaw Summit?
Miałaby być podjęta podczas szczytu w Warszawie. Let me answer in the following way. Yes, in such a way that the security of the eastern NATO flank is truly provided. Today, there are indications showing that what we need to do is both to have significant presence of both infrastructure and troops on the ground in Central and Eastern Europe, and we also need a well-developed system for supporting those troops, for supporting defense, if any kind of an aggressive act happened. We want NATO forces to be visible, which means common exercises, improving coordination of actions, and I believe that this is the direction in which we should be developing our cooperation, and in this direction we should also be taking decisions at the Warsaw Summit. Let me stress once again, we very much count on this summit to be a decision-making summit, a forward-looking summit, which will be a universal summit, so that it builds the infrastructure of the North Atlantic Alliance in the sense of its adaptation to the current security circumstances.
President Duda and I, we had full and wide-ranging talks covering many different issues. And of course, naturally, we also discussed the importance of adhering to the core values of NATO. And I think we all understand that the core values of NATO being democracy, individual liberty and the rule of law are important for all allies and are important for the alliance. They were important when the alliance was established and they are still important for the alliance. For me, these values are important because they are key for the unity of the alliance. And the unity is the most important strength of the alliance, because the whole alliance is based on the idea of 28 for 28, based on some core values which we all share.
Thank you very much.